You see, God was looking for priorities in the life of the people. It's really important this morning that we understand that God is looking in our lives to see if our priorities are right. Who seems to be first in my life? Who seems to be the one that takes most of my time throughout the day and throughout the night?
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Raul has walked with the Lord for 50 years, and he's learned to manage his time and energy to make God's kingdom building work his top priority. For inspiration to set more God-honoring goals for yourself, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165 for a free DVD of Raul's amazing story. Well, thank you for joining us today as Raul continues our series in Nehemiah, exploring how the Israelites continually struggled with keeping the Lord central in their lives. You'll be challenged to consider the place God has in your life. Raul will teach us to evaluate whether we've ever fully surrendered to the Lord, repented of our sin, and committed to being a person of action for the sake of God's kingdom. In Nehemiah chapter 1, beginning in verse 5, here's Raul Reese with today's lesson.
God had used Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, and then, you know, God also used the Medes and the Persians, and then he used the Romans. You see, as God began to stir up his people were a covenant people. God had given his law to Moses. And Moses had taught his law to his people. And these people, in turn, we're supposed to keep and observe all of the statutes, all of the ordinances, all of the commands of the law of Moses. And God had declared, if you do this, then you'll prosper. If you don't do this, then you'll be judged. And you would think that God's people would listen to the instructions that God had given to Moses and Moses to the people. But as the people of God began to move out, as they left Egypt and they went through the wilderness and then entered the promised land, and as they began to forget about God, God eventually, when the kingdom was split into two, the north and the south, we began to see that God had to use Assyria to come and judge his people in the north by the name of Israel, the 10 tribes of the northern kingdom. And then on the other side, in the south, there were two tribes, which we called Judah. And Judah had 160 years, not only to watch, but also to observe how God would use evil for good. Now, one of the reasons that God used all of these heathen nations to come against God's people is because God's people did not obey the commands of God. And let me say to you something, that God will use evil for good. Because it's important that we understand that even though God used Assyria and Babylon to chastise his people, God was looking for Assyria and God was looking for Babylon as they came and they judged the southern kingdom of Judah. God, in that reference, was looking for the king Sennacherib of Assyria and king Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. In their defeat of God's people, God was looking for these heathen kings and heathen nations to turn and to give glory and honor to God. That's what God was looking for, but they didn't. So God also ended up judging those wicked nations. Now we find Nehemiah as a captive, as his mother and father were taken in the first captivity to Babylon. Now, Nehemiah was born in captivity. Nehemiah had never returned to Jerusalem. His parents probably by this point in time are dead. And Nehemiah finds himself no longer in Babylon, as the Babylonians were defeated by the Medes and the Persians. Now Nehemiah finds himself in the court of the king of Persia, Artaxerxes. And we find him here as the cupbearer to the king, which was one of the most important positions in the kingdom. But the duty of the cupbearer was the one that would be next to the king, and he would taste the meat and he would taste the wine in case, first of all, it were poisoned, and he would be the first one to be killed or to die. So the king really had to really put his trust in this man, the cupbearer. This was the position of Nehemiah. Another thing that I recognize, and I make an observation here, is that as Nehemiah is born in captivity, when God releases people from Babylon, only 50,000 people returned to Palestine. Millions stayed in Babylon. They became great merchandisers. And what's interesting is that out of these 50,000 people that returned back to Babylon, these 50,000 came back, and as the land had been destroyed and the temple had been burned down and the walls were totally torn down, they began not only to build their beautiful panel houses, but to actually tilt the land and to plant it and to reap it, and begin to become prosperous to the point where God had to raise up a prophet by the name of Haggai to rebuke his people and say, do you think it's fair for you to build your beautiful panel houses and to go out into the fields and to plant and to reap all of the things that you're putting to the ground, and then to take all of your money and to put them into big bags that have holes, and yet the house of the Lord is empty? It's in ruins. You see, God was looking for priorities in the life of the people. It's really important this morning that we understand that God is looking in our lives to see if our priorities are right. Who seems to be first in my life? Who seems to be the one that takes most of my time throughout the day and throughout the night? Nehemiah, of course, was a chosen vessel by God, as God had chosen now Nehemiah to be used by the king, not only to become the cupbearer, but most important, Nehemiah was called by God to become a prayer warrior to the kingdom. I like that. Now, let me begin by reading again verse 1 and reading down. We're going to be studying verses 5 through 11 this morning, the servant's prayer this morning. He says, the words of Nehemiah, which means Jehovah's Comforter, a type of the Holy Spirit, the son of Helkiah. It came to pass in the month of Chislev, in the 20th year, that I was in Shushan in the Sidel, which is the capital city of Persia, about 445 BC, December. That Hananiah, one of my brothers, came with men from Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews who escaped, who had survived the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. Notice that first of all, Nehemiah is a man of compassion, a man of concern for his people. Nehemiah had never been to Jerusalem, but Nehemiah is concerned about the situation in Jerusalem. The temple now has been built, but then the report comes from his brother. Verse 3, and they said to me, the survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and great reproach. Notice the conditions of the people. The people were not happy. The people were miserable. The people there in the book of Nehemiah, as they're standing there in Jerusalem, the people are no longer prioritizing their time to God. They become self-centered people. You see, even though the temple has been built, there is one thing that is being neglected, and that is the rebuildings of the walls around Jerusalem, which speak of the protection of God around the city. You see, not to have walls around the city is to entice your enemies to come and take the spoil. And then when Nehemiah was standing there and listening to the report of his brothers, one of his brothers, then came not only great distress and great reproach, but he says the walls of Jerusalem is also broken down and its gates are burned with fire. As I look around today at the body of Jesus Christ around the world, my heart, man, just breaks as I see so many people, man, that are miserable in the body of Jesus Christ and their homes are being broken apart by Satan. And you see, when Nehemiah recognized and he heard that the walls were burned down and there was no protection around the city walls, the first thing that he did is he became a man of action. The first thing he does is he begins to weep. When is the last time your children saw you weep? Weeping, tears, because I love my wife, because I love my children, I love my home, I love people. That was Nehemiah's heart. He wept, not because of the walls. He wept because he saw the people that they had no protection and the people were doing whatever they wanted to do in their own lives. And they thought they were secured. There's no security without walls. There's no security without God's protection. And after he wept tears of sorrow, then he began to mourn. And as he wept and as he mourned, then the next thing he did is interesting. He began by denying himself, and he began to deny himself of eating anything as he gave himself to the Lord. He denied himself from anything to eat. Denial. Self-denial. And you know what blew me away? Not only does he weep, not only does he mourn, not only does he fast, but then, you know what he does? All these things prepare you to enter into the presence of God by prayer. Now, watch his prayer, because this is important. In verses 5 to 11, you'll see it this way. In here in the chapter, we have what we call the model prayer of Nehemiah. Because it follows such a pattern. It starts with worship, it goes to confession, and it concludes with petition. I like that. Starts with worship, moves to confession, and it concludes with petition. When we need to understand that Nehemiah was facing probably one of the most incredible situations in his life, and he doesn't panic, but he begins as a man of action. He begins with prayer. He begins to worship God. Check this out. Look what he says, beginning with verse 5. And then I said, I pray, Lord God of heaven. Again, he recognizes the place where God dwells. Father, you are the one that is in heaven. You're the one that oversees everything. Lord, I worship you in spirit and in truth. Oh, great and awesome God. And then he begins by worshiping and speaking of the greatness of God. How great thou art, O Lord. Possessor of earth, possessor of heaven, possessor of all things. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Lord, without you, we can do nothing. That's important. And then I said, I pray, Lord, O God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you, God, who honors your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments. Notice who he keeps his covenants with. Those that are obedient to God, those who love him, keep his commandments. Notice how he's worshiping God. Lord, you're the one that gives covenants and keeps covenants. And we, your people, are supposed to love you. And if we love you, we're supposed to be obedient to your word. Because you're great and because you're awesome, God. And I love it. He says, those who honor your covenant and mercy with those who love you and are observing your commandments. And the commandments were the Ten Commandments. Now in the New Testament, the commandments are not the Ten Commandments, but two commandments. Love him and love others. Those are the two commandments. And then As he enters into worship and as he begins to praise God, then he enters into what we call confession. And watch this. And then he says, please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open. Look, God, pay attention, God. Open your ears, but Lord, open your eyes too, because you're the one that sees everything and hears all things. Lord, I know that you're the God of the universe and you have a lot of petitions, but Lord, I am coming to you personally, and because you are God, I know that you'll give me an ear to hear what I have to tell you, God. I like that. He's in communion with God. He knows that God will listen to him. And then he says this, please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open. Why? That you, God, may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night. Notice his intercession was day and night. When the Jews prayed, they prayed at 9 o'clock in the morning, at noon, and at 3 o'clock in the evening, 3 times a day. The Muslims pray 4 times a day. The Christians, I don't know. Whenever. And it blows my mind, because have you ever seen a Muslim person? I've watched them at parks. A Muslim person, it doesn't matter where he's at. If it's time to pray, if he doesn't have a little mat, or he has a towel or a handkerchief, he'll lay it out on the grass and he'll face the east and he'll get down on his knees and he'll begin to bow and to pray. And yet, how many times we become afraid and ashamed to pray? And yet we serve the true and living God. Daniel used to pray 3 times a day. He would go up into his room, open his window, and because the temple was in the east, he would face the east and he would pray to God. We need to pray. We need to ask God to give us the desire, to give us that power that we can become intercessors for this church and for the body of believers around the world. Pray for all the Calvary chapels. Pray for the North Shore. Pray for there where Stonebreaker is. Pray for the Chinese. Pray for the Japanese. Pray for the Filipinos. Pray for Europe. Pray for South America, Central America, Mexico, Africa. We don't have to go there. We can go there quickly through prayer. That we need to recognize worship and we need to understand confession. And then watch this. He confesses this. Please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open, that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night. What? For your children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we, notice he puts himself in there, which we have sinned against you, both my father's house and I have sinned. Nehemiah put himself with the people when he prayed. God, I have sinned too. I am a sinner. In 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us for our sins. God forgives sinners. God forgives sins. I have to repent. I have to confess my sins to God. So important. Nehemiah here is applying this to the nation and openly confessing the sins of the children of Israel, God. They have sinned against you, and you only have they sinned. Not only them, but me too, O God. And furthermore here, Nehemiah, he humbles himself by identifying himself with the people, even as Ezra, Daniel, and Moses, true servants of God. They're not self-righteous. They identify themselves with the people. And then he says in verse 7, we, identification with the people, we have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept your commandments or your statutes nor your ordinances, which you commanded your servant Moses. We broke every law. 180 times the word commandments is found in the Old Testament, speaking of God's law, the Ten Commandments. They broke the law of God in every way they could. And Nehemiah says, Lord, we, me, them have sinned against you. We've broken every commandment that you ever gave to Moses. You see, now we're beginning to see is the brass is now melting away and the heavens are beginning to open as God now begins to hear my prayer. Because I'm doing it the right way. And then, notice in verse 8 through 11, we have the servant's petition now. Nehemiah here makes an appeal to God, imploring him that he's the one that honors the covenant that he made to Moses, the promise. Watch this. He says, "Remember, O God, I pray, the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, conditional, if you are unfaithful, then I will scatter you among the nations." And what happened? They were not faithful, and they were scattered according to God's warning. But also, check this out, verse 9. "But if you repent to me and keep my commandments and do them," check this out, action, becoming a doer, "though some of you were cast out into the farthest parts of the heavens, yet I, God Almighty, will gather you," or gather them from there, "and bring them to the place which I have chosen as a dwelling place for my name." Isn't that interesting? God's promise. God is in the business of restoring people. If you repent, God says, "Then I will do this for you, if you want to do it." And then, verse 10, "And now, these are your servants." Notice, they're not my servants, they're your servants, "and your people, whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand." I love that. God, they're your people, they're your servants. You paid for them by redeeming them. Man, how much God has done with us as he has redeemed us through his precious blood. We have forgiveness of sins. We have so much as believers.
We pray that Nehemiah's example of faith in action has infused you with fresh motivation to be a person God can work through in mighty, kingdom-building ways. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. Today's message from Nehemiah 1 is available as a podcast along with the other archive studies from Raul by using Spotify or iTunes. Now, we can also send you a physical unedited version for a gift of $5 or more. Just call 800-634-9165 and ask for the lesson from Nehemiah chapter 1. Now, to further encourage you in a life of service, we'd like to tell you about Raul's new 4-message audio pack simply titled Obey. We've seen today how the Israelites missed opportunities to glorify the Lord by prioritizing their own agendas over God's will. Now, this series will guide you in seeking out the Lord's direction with regular time in His Word, and will inspire you to follow His commands in full expectation of His blessings. Don't wait. Contact us today to purchase Raul's newest CD series centered on the virtue of obedience. We'll send you this 4-CD collection for a gift of $19 or more when you visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165. That's 800-634-9165. Or write us at Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. We also invite you to take advantage of our many free resources, each providing more life-giving insight from Scripture. Our Somebody Loves You app features convenient access to digital Bible studies that you can enjoy on the go, as well as an easy Bible reading plan to help direct your daily devotion time. The app is downloadable on both iPhones and Androids. And for weekly wisdom to guide you in godly living, visit Raul's YouTube channel for Straight Talk every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific. Our goal here at Somebody Loves You Radio is to come alongside you and stand with you on the solid rock of God's Word. We welcome your thoughts on how we can better support you. We'd also love to connect with you in prayer, so when you contact us, let us know how we can do that. This ministry is made possible through your continued partnership. Every contribution you make is tax deductible, and your generosity helps keep us on the air. Well, thanks so much again for making us a part of your day today. It's such a privilege to be able to study God's Word with you, and we look forward to joining you again next time for more uplifting biblical truth. Here's Raul now once again with the closing thought.
And then in conclusion, verse 11. O Lord, here is his heart. Now, petition. Lord, I pray, please, let your ear be attentive, second time, to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants. Oh, watch that. Did you see that? When Nehemiah began to pray, others began to pray too. You see that? Leader, sheep, watch. Let your servant, your servants who desire to fear your name, and let your servant prosper this day, I pray, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. What does he mean? Lord, in your perfect time, you opened the doors. 4 months, Nehemiah prayed, and finally, God answered his prayer as he touched who? King Artaxerxes' heart.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.